This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم اهد قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي، آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, today we will continue with our study of the story of Adam alayhi salam, and we'll talk about how Iblis declared his enmity to Adam and his children for the duration that humans are on earth. We learned previously that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam and honored him by commanding the angels to make sajda to him. And all of the angels made sajda at once, without hesitation, without any delay, and without any exception. Every single one of the angels made sajda. But Iblis, who was among them, and as we know, he's a jinn, but because he was among them, he was also commanded to prostrate to Adam. He refused to prostrate to Adam. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him why he did not prostrate, instead of apologizing, he made the false analogical reasoning that I am better than him, I am better than Adam, because you, O Allah, created me from fire and created him from clay. And because according to Iblis, fire is better than clay, therefore Iblis is better than Adam. And we talked about how this was a false analogy, or rather a false assumption, because in many, many ways, fire is not better than clay. A simple thing, if you think about it, clay can very easily extinguish fire, right? If you have, for example, a mattress on fire, you just put a lump of clay on it and khalas, it's finished. But fire cannot burn down dust. It can burn many different things, but it cannot burn dust. So when Iblis said that I am better than Adam, this revealed the arrogance and the jealousy that Iblis was hiding inside. And then we learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expelled Iblis from his presence and cursed him forever. But Iblis asked Allah for respite, for a chance to live on and not die until the day of judgment, and to also have the freedom to do whatever that he wants. And we learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually granted him his request. Why? Because remember that in everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, in everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows, there is great wisdom. A lot of people don't understand, or they have difficulty understanding, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would allow Iblis to lead us astray, right? They say things like, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not allow Iblis to live on until the day of judgment, if Allah did not allow Iblis to lead us astray, then our lives would be so much easier. The thing is that we were still created for a test in this world, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for Jannah, but he was going to send us on earth as a Khalifa first. And then those who would pass the test would be admitted into paradise. So we were going to come to the world whether or not Iblis was our enemy, right? But the other thing is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows evil to exist, such as the evil of Iblis, we should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like it. Yani, just because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed something to happen, it does not mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes it. No, there's a difference between what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to do and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets happen, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows to happen. So for example, when a believer dies, this happens by the permission of Allah. And this is something that is painful for the believer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like that. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets that happen because there is a reason behind that, right? On the other hand, the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to do, like for example, He has commanded us to pray, He has commanded us to fast, He has commanded us to give sadaqah. These are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes for us. So know the difference between the will of Allah and the command of Allah. A lot of people think that, you know, if something evil is happening, God must like that. No, He lets it happen. It does not mean that He likes it. Because wallahu la yuhibbul fasad. Allah does not like corruption, as we learn in the Quran. So Iblis asked for respite, and he was given that respite. And the fact that Iblis asked for something so huge, and the ability to live on until the day of judgment, the freedom to do whatever that he wants, the fact that Iblis asked for something so huge right after committing such a serious wrong shows us that we should never ever think that we are not worthy of calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because what Iblis did is far worse than what you and I can do, right? Now the funny thing is that Iblis tells us that we are not worthy of calling upon Allah. Whereas look at him, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something so huge. So our job is to keep asking Allah. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps giving to whomever he wants according to his wisdom and his will. So today we'll talk about how Iblis showed his enmity to Adam and basically declared his enmity to Adam and his children. And we see that now that Iblis had respite until the day of judgment, he began acting on his jealousy and acting on the hatred that he had for Adam alayhi salam. And that jealousy and hatred not only surfaced in the words of Iblis, but also in his actions until the day of judgment. And that jealousy and that hatred turned into enmity and revenge and determination to harm Adam and his children and to lead them astray from the straight path. So we learn in Surah Sad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. When Iblis was given respite, then he said to Allah that by your might, I will surely mislead them all, except among them, your chosen servants. Astaghfirullah. And he said to Allah that I am going to mislead all of the children of Adam, and the only ones who I will not manage to mislead are those servants of yours who have been chosen by you. Yani they will be the exceptional ones. And then we learned that Iblis actually blamed Allah for his own error. We learn in Surah Al-A'raf, قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Shaitan said, because you have put me in error, I will surely sit in wait for them on your straight path. Instead of taking responsibility, instead of acknowledging his failure to obey the command of Allah, what did he do? He blamed Allah. Notice that the angels did not blame Allah. That, oh Allah, why are you asking us the names of things when you have not even taught them to us? The angels did not blame Allah. No. They just surrendered and they expressed they acknowledged their lack of knowledge. But Iblis blamed Allah that you asked me to do something you knew I would not do. You asked me to do something that is beneath me, to prostrate to Adam. So basically what he's saying is that, oh Allah, you should not have commanded me to do sajda to Adam. And since I was tested through Adam, he is the reason that I went astray. I am going to mislead Adam and his children. I am going to take revenge against them. And subhanAllah, many people have this Iblisiyya in them. This thought pattern which aligns with the way that Iblis responded. that what they do is that they blame others in order to justify their own wrong behavior. And instead of taking responsibility that I am weak, that I made a mistake, this is too hard for me, I know I should not have done this, but I did it and I'm sorry. Instead of taking responsibility and rectifying, what they do is that they justify. They justify. And then instead of taking responsibility, they blame others. People do this with their religious affairs and also with their worldly affairs. Like, for example, many people will blame their spouse, that because he talks to me like this, this is why I talk to him like this. And he's rude to me, so I am also rude to him. No, his rudeness does not justify your rudeness. You are responsible for your own words, for your own behavior. Likewise, when it comes to religious issues, a lot of women will say things like, I don't wear hijab because, you know, for example, I'm no longer engaged to the man who wanted me to wear hijab. Or men will say things like, I hate all women because they're on a mission to frame men in a bad way. A person will say something like, my parents did not let me marry the person I wanted to, so I'm just going to be with them in a haram relationship. Someone else's wrong does not justify your wrong. And there's no need to blame others for actions that you committed with your own choice. And subhanAllah, many people will actually blame Allah. Allah, who is Al-Muhsin, who is the one who has done you many, many favors. And everything that you have is from Allah. The one who is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. People will blame Allah, that Allah put me in this test. And so, of course, what was I supposed to do? Allah put me in this hardship, so what was I supposed to do? No, you were supposed to have some self-regulation. Then some people will blame Qadr, divine decree, that, oh, this was written, so that's why I committed the sin. Yes, it was written, but you weren't compelled to do it. It was written in the sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew from before, but Allah did not force you to commit the sin. You chose to do it by your own choice. Now, if you think about it, the command that Iblis was given was a very simple, straightforward command. Make sajda to Adam. And if he obeyed Allah, then things would be very simple, right? But look at how Iblis complicated his situation for himself and made it so much worse. First, he refused. Then he blamed Allah. And then he turned into a vengeful enemy who is relentlessly acting on his jealousy and enmity without rest until the day of judgment. Subhanallah, this is the problem with not accepting the truth, that you get lost and stuck in a web of problems. You complicate the situation for yourself. And if you accept the truth as it is, life is much simple and easier. You know, for example, you get into some kind of a difference with someone in a discussion. All right? They say something like, how could you say something so hurtful to me? You can say right away, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to hurt you. I didn't mean to offend you. I take that back. And if you do that, the problem will be resolved. But if you start justifying yourself that, no, excuse me, I wasn't trying to hurt you. Stop taking things so personally. I'm just explaining a point and you don't have the capacity to accept it. You're so frail and weak. If you don't have the capacity for an argument, then don't talk. And you go on demeaning and speaking to the other person in such a condescending way. What's going to happen? There's going to be a rift that's going to be created between you and the other person. And your relationship is going to be ruined. And then you're going to spend so long trying to prove yourself right. So a lot of times, you know, we complicate situations for ourselves by not taking responsibility for our actions, by not apologizing, by not seeking forgiveness. And this is what Iblis did. So Iblis said that فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, that, oh Allah, because you have put me in error, I will surely sit in wait for them on your straight path, on your صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Now, sirat means a road, And the word sirat is also used for religion, right? So sirat mustaqim is Islam. Why? Because it is the right path. It is the road that leads us to our destination. You know, when you want to get to a certain destination, you stay on the road. You stay on the road, you follow the road. So for example, the road is going straight. You stick to the road and you keep going straight. The road bends to the right, you also bend to the right. It bends to the left, you also bend to the left. So when you stick to the road, what's going to happen? You're going to get to your destination. But if you leave the road and you go onto some random street, or if you just go onto the sidewalk, or you go off to the fields on the side, then you're not going to get to the destination. So Sirat al-Mustaqim is the path that leads us to Allah and leads us to His paradise. Now, what does Sirat al-Mustaqim look like? It looks like knowing the truth and living by it. Knowing the truth and living by it. So what did Shaitan say? Shaitan said that, "Oh Allah, I will sit on your straight path." Which means that whenever people are going to go to do something right, do something good, I am going to sit in their way and create hurdles for them. I am going to sit in their way and turn them away from the right path. And subhanAllah, sometimes that happens, right? That you're driving, you're on the road, but then there's a roadblock or there's a traffic jam. And as a result of that, what do? You get off of the highway and now you have to take a longer route, right? Or sometimes what happens is that you are distracted and you don't see the road signs. You're not paying attention, you don't see the road signs, and as a result, you get lost. So this is what Shaitan does. Sometimes he weakens us from within. And when we're about to do something good, he weakens us from within. He puts waswasa in our heart. He tells us things like, if you give sadaqah, you're going to get poor. If you give all this money, then what will you have for your future? He creates anxiety in us. So what happens then? We slow down in doing good, or we leave it altogether. So sometimes Shaitan weakens us from within, and sometimes he weakens us through others. And literally, he puts roadblocks for us, bringing people against us in order to slow us down or in order to make us leave the good thing that we're doing completely. So for example, you're praying your salah, right? You pray your fard, and right after that, you intend to pray your sunnah. Now, just as you're about to pray your sunnah, what happens? Two children start fighting. And as they start fighting, you need to go and, you know, intervene, or, you know, you need to go and resolve their problem. And one is now having a tantrum and the other is very angry as well. And it takes 30 minutes or so to calm down the situation. And by then, you have forgotten that you intended to pray sunnah. See what happens? Sometimes he weakens us from within. That, oh, don't pray sunnah. You prayed the fard, that's enough. You're tired, you need rest. And sometimes he weakens us through other people, right? And literally sometimes there are people, any, who are supposed to support you in doing something good, right? People who are closest to you, people who are your loved ones, they're supposed to support you in doing good things, but Shaitan makes them discourage us. And because of them, we end up leaving the good things that we were doing, or we end up committing sin. So we have to be very careful, because Shaitan is going to come on the right path in order to hinder us, in order to slow us down, in order to take us off the right path. In a hadith, we learned that the Prophet ﷺ said that Shaitan sits in the path of the son of Adam. He sits waiting for him in the path to Islam. So when a person is going to accept Islam, Shaitan sits waiting for him over there. And he says to him, will you accept Islam and leave your religion? Are you going to leave the religion of your forefathers? Don't do that. So you see what happens? A person is thinking of becoming a Muslim, and Shaitan, he sits on the straight path, trying to stop them. But the person disobeys him and accepts Islam. Do you think Shaitan gives up then? No, he does not give up then. He keeps sitting. He sits waiting for him on the path to Hijrah, immigrating in the way of Allah. And he says, will you emigrate and leave behind your land and sky? And this is the place that you know as home. Are you going to leave that? The one who immigrates is like a horse tethered to a peg. And you'll never be happy where you go because you'll always be reminded of the memories over here. So don't do hijrah. But he disobeys Shaitan and makes the hijrah. Does Shaitan give up then? No, he doesn't. Then he sits waiting for him on the path to jihad. And he says, will you fight in jihad? Are you going to go for jihad? Don't do that. What if you die? You're going to lose all this wealth. You will fight and be killed. And your wife, she's going to remarry someone else. And your wealth, it will be divided among your heirs. You see, الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرَ. Shaitan tells you that you're going to be poor, that you're going to miss out. So what happens? The believer disobeys Shaitan and fights in jihad. So the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever does that, then he has a right from Allah that Allah will admit him to paradise. So Shaitan puts waswasa in our heart. He puts anxious thoughts and fears. And sometimes when you're about to do something good, like for example, you're about to, you know, decide that you're going to listen to the lecture. And Shaitan tells you, oh, you're so tired. Get some more sleep. Lie down. Take some rest. It's Ramadan. You're fasting. You know, it's good if you sleep an extra hour. You know, you'll have less waking hours while you're fasting. This is what Shaitan does. He distracts us from doing good. And sometimes what happens is that he just makes us worried, right? That if ever we're going to do something good, he makes us worry about it and overthink it. And when we begin to overthink, then we delay or we change our mind completely. So think about it. If you are going somewhere, let's say you're walking through the park and you see a dog that is not on its leash and it begins to charge at you, what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to fight the dog yourself? Are you supposed to run? No. If you run, the dog is going to run after you. And if you become aggressive, the dog is going to become even more aggressive. So what are you supposed to do in this situation? You have to stand your ground and call its bluff. A lot of times when dogs come charging, I'm talking about pet dogs, okay, if they come charging, even wild ones actually, you just stand your ground and call its bluff. And what you're going to do is you're going to ask the owner of the dog to call it back. So the same way, when Shaitan creates hurdles and obstacles for you in the straight path, don't begin to curse him. That's what some people do. They start cursing Shaitan. No, this is not supposed to be a fight. What you do is you stand your ground and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you against Shaitan. You say, Allah is with me. You turn to Allah. You say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. If ever you have a thought that hinders you from going in the way of Allah. So Shaitan said that he is going to sit on the straight path in order to lead us astray. Then we also learn that Shaitan openly declared his plans to harm and mislead humanity. In Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 17, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Shaitan said, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. He said, then I will come to them from before them, meaning people, I will come to people from before them in order to mislead them. And I will come to them from behind them. And I will come to them on their right. And I will come to them on their left. And you will not find most of them grateful to you. SubhanAllah. So first he said, I'm going to sit on your straight path, waiting for the son of Adam. When the son of Adam comes, I'm going to dissuade him. I'm going to turn him away. Here he says that I am going to come to them from their front, from their behind, from their right, from their left. I'm going to approach them. I'm not just going to sit and wait for them. I'm also going to actively approach them. Subhanallah. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu explained this verse, that I will come to them from before them means that I will put them in doubt about what is before them. What is before us? What is ahead of us? It's the akhirah. So Shaitan said, I will come to them from before them, meaning I will put them in doubt about the hereafter. That, oh, what if there's no day of judgment? What if there's no paradise? What if there's no hell? Enjoy here at least, right? Have a good time in this life at least. You live only once, so do what you can. Because what if there's no paradise and hell? And what if there's no resurrection and hisab? He said, I will come to them from behind them. What this means is that I will come to them from behind them, as in I will turn their attention constantly toward the world. Because with every passing day, what is it that we're leaving behind us? The world. But what does Shaitan do? He constantly turns our attention to what is behind us, as in to the dunya, making us feel that it is extremely important. I will come to them from their right, which means that I will confuse their religion for them. I will make them lazy about doing good deeds. I will come to them from their left, meaning I will make sins enjoyable for them. Then this has also been explained as that I will come to them from before them. Before them refers to what remains of their lives. So in their future, in this world, I will not let them spend the rest of their years in obedience to Allah. I will not let them spend the rest of their lives in doing good things. I will continuously distract them. I will continuously mislead them. وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ Behind them, this refers to what has passed of their lives. So I will distract them from repenting over what they did. Allahu Akbar. Think about it, at the end of a day even, how often it happens that Shaitan completely distracts us with thoughts that preoccupy us about tomorrow, right? In which we're just planning things like what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, who we're going to meet, what we're going to talk about, and things like that. Nothing that will actually benefit us in the hereafter. And at the same time, Shaitan does not let us think about the mistakes that we made during the day. The salat that we prayed late, or the salat that we prayed without khushur, or how we yelled at our children, how we were rude to someone. Shaitan does not let us think about our mistakes, because if we don't think about them, we're not going to repent to Allah. We're not going to seek forgiveness. I will come to them from their right, meaning from their wealth. So I will not let them spend their wealth in good causes or spend their wealth in something that will have a lasting effect. And وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ I will come to them from their left, meaning from the side of poverty. So if they are in need, I will tell them to, take whatever haram opportunities before them because they are poor and they are in need, or that they will remain poor if they miss this opportunity. So Shaitan plays with our minds, and he doesn't give up. He causes us to, stay ignorant sometimes, and he prevents us from learning. And we also learn that these directions, from front, from behind, from right, from left, what this means is that I will come to them from all directions, good and bad. So when they're doing something good, I will create problems for them. And if they're doing something bad, I will encourage them. I will actively call them to bad, and I will corrupt the good that they're doing. But notice something, he did not say that I will come to them from above them and from below them. Why? Because if he came to us from above, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy would prevent him. right? He would not be able to come to us and attack us from above because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is there. And shaitan will not come to us from below because shaitan does not like to bend and lower himself, right? He knows that Allah is above, and you have dua and you have sajda where shaitan cannot interfere. Ibn Qayyim said that a person goes only in these four directions, right? And as a human being, you only go in these four directions. You either go straight ahead, or you go reverse, or you go right, or you go left. You don't go up. You don't fly, right? Yes, you can sit on a plane and fly. That's different. But in daily life, you don't go up, and nor do you dig down, right? Other creatures do that. They go up, they go down, but human beings don't do that. So what this means is that no matter what direction the son of Adam goes into, what path a person takes, shaitan will come and create obstacles for him in order to try to misguide him. So imagine you are walking out of your room and you're going straight. And your intention is to go straight to the bathroom, make wudu, in order to pray 2 rak'ah. So you're going straight. What happens? Shaitan comes from your front and tells you, you don't have to pray right now. You can pray later. There's plenty of time. Do something else right now. Check your phone. Maybe there is a message. So you see how shaitan comes to us from any direction that we go into, whether we're going right or left, forwards or backwards. It doesn't matter what we're doing, where we're going. Shaitan tries to interfere in every single thing that we intend to do. So when a person intends to, Ibn Qayyim explains that when a person intends to do something good and he goes in the path of goodness, he will find shaitan on the way who will prevent him from going on. Or shaitan will delay him or make him lazy or corrupt his intention even. And sometimes this happens, that you are, for example, you go straight to the bathroom, right? Shaitan tries to prevent you. You don't listen to shaitan. You go make wudu anyway. And then as you're making wudu, you go back, right? You go back to where you came from. And then you turn right, you face the qibla. And as you're standing to pray, shaitan tells you, oh, look at you. You're praying voluntary salah. What a good person you are. And you are better than so-and-so who is just sitting and they're not praying voluntary salah. So shaitan makes you feel very proud and arrogant about yourself. On the other hand, if a person intends to do something wrong, then again, he will find shaitan on that path. And what will shaitan do? Shaitan will encourage him. Shaitan will support him. Shaitan will cheer him on and serve him and give him more hopes and desires. Subhanallah. And sometimes this happens, that a person is doing something wrong. They know they're doing something wrong. But shaitan comes to them from within, through their through waswasa, and also through people, in order to tell them, yes, girl, live your life. I'm so proud of you that you're making your own decisions and you are doing what your heart is telling you to do. You're living your truth, subhanallah, even if that so-called truth contradicts the truth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. So this is something that happens, that when a person is doing something wrong, shaitan cheers that person on, encourages them, so they go further and further into doing wrong things. So when we know that shaitan will come to us from before us, from behind us, from our right, from our left, what should we do? We should seek protection with Allah Azza wa Jal. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from all sides. And especially make this dua in the morning and in the evening, which is for protection. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to read this dua in the morning and in the evening for protection. And in this dua, we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for afia. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afia. O Allah, I ask you for safety, for well-being, fi dunya wal akhirah, in the world and in the hereafter. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afia. O Allah, I ask you for forgiveness and also for safety. Fi dini wa dunyaya, in regard to my religion and also in regard to my worldly affairs. Wa ahli wa mali, in regard to my family and also in regard to my wealth. Allahumma astur awrati wa amir rawati. O Allah, conceal my faults and calm my fears. Allahumma ihfazni min bayni yadayya wa min khalfi wa an yamini wa an shimali wa min fawqi. O Allah, protect me from before me and from behind me, from my right and from my left, and also from above me. O Allah, protect me from all directions. Wa a'udhu bi'azamatika an ughtala min tahti. And I seek refuge in your greatness, lest I slip, you know, beneath, yani, I slip and I fall. So protect me from all directions. And Shaitan said that وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. He said that you will not find the majority of them to be grateful. And he said that I will come to the children of Adam from all these directions. And then he said that, O Allah, you will not find the majority of them to be grateful. And this is true. Majority of the people are not grateful to Allah. Especially when we end up disobeying Allah, then what are we doing? We are actually being ungrateful to Allah. Because think about it. Whatever we have is from who? From Ar-Rahman. It is from Allah. Now, Shaitan is the enemy of Ar-Rahman. On the one hand is the command of Shaitan, and on the other hand is the command of Ar-Rahman. So if we listen to Shaitan, who is the enemy of Ar-Rahman, then what are we doing? We are showing immense ingratitude to Ar-Rahman for all of the favors that he has bestowed upon us. And this is why Ibrahim alayhi salam said to his father that, Ya abati, la ta'bud shaytan. O my father, do not worship shaytan, meaning do not obey him, because inna shaytana kana lirrahmani asiyya. Indeed, shaytan has ever been to the most merciful disobedient. So don't listen to shaytan. And the thing is that no matter how much a person obeys shaitan, shaitan will never ever be loyal to you. And shaitan doesn't care about you. Because we learned that on the Day of Judgment, shaitan will say to people who followed him that I only invited you to disobey Allah and you responded to me, you accepted my invitation. So don't blame me, blame yourselves. It was your choice. Subhanallah. Now, the question is, how did Shaitan know that the majority of the people will not be grateful to Allah? وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْتَرُهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. The thing is that Shaitan said this as an assumption. Okay? This was his assumption of people, that people will not be grateful to Allah. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Saba, that the assumption of Shaitan turned out to be true. Okay? As Allah says, وَلَقَدْ صَدَّقَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِبْلِيسُ ظَنَّهُ فَاتَّبَعُوهُ إِلَّا فَرِيقًا مِّنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Iblis confirmed through them his assumption. So they followed him, except for a party of the believers. So this shows us that one of the ways in which we counter the attacks of Shaitan is by practicing gratitude. Because Shaitan wants us to be ungrateful, right? And the thing is that when we are grateful, then it shows that we are countering the attacks of Shaitan. So one of your weapons against Shaitan is knowing that Allah is your muhsin, that Allah blessed you with whatever that you have, that Allah is on your side, that Allah is appreciative, that Allah answers prayers, that Allah rewards generously, and that Allah does not deserve that you disrespect Him, that you disobey Him, that you turn away from Him, or that you forget Him. So Shaitan said, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. And we should be of those who show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in Surah Al-Hijr, we learned that Shaitan said something more. He said, قَالَ رَبِّ بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. He said, My Lord, because you have put me in error, I will surely make disobedience attractive to them on earth, and I will mislead them all, except among them your chosen servants. So he said that I will adorn for them. I will beautify for them. لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ Tazyin is to present something in a beautiful way so that it is very attractive. So Shaitan said that I will beautify for them. Beautify what for them? Beautify sins. Beautify disobedience. So they will find sins to be attractive. And they will have no problem committing those sins. They will not feel bad committing those sins. Subhanallah. And if you think about it, how so many, many sins have been normalized among Muslims that we don't even know that they're sin anymore because they're all around us. And because everybody's doing it, we think that it's okay to do it. And we end up doing it and we have no shame, no guilt, no bad feeling, nothing, no regret. Because the sin has been adorned, it's been made attractive. And when he said that I will beautify for them, what this means is that I will beautify the world for them. So I will busy them in the adornments of the world so much that they will not be able to obey Allah. They will forever be in the pursuit of worldly pleasure. Subhanallah. And if you think about it, so many of us are like that. We have to consciously pull ourselves away from the constant pursuit of pleasure and direct ourselves to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and, preparing for the akhirah. So, لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ And, this happens sometimes through everyday things. For example, it's the time of iftar, okay? And at iftar time, your body is hungry and you need to feed your body something that will nourish it and strengthen it so that you can stand in prayer in the night. But what does Shaitan do? He, first of all, and he tells us to just eat what is delicious on the tongue, okay? Why? Because it feels good. And when we make poor food choices, where we eat something that just tastes very delicious, but it's terrible for the body, it's very damaging for the body, right? Then what happens? We are not able to pray properly. Sometimes what happens is that we're eating and the food is good. It's perfectly good, mashallah. The food choices are great. However, he causes us to indulge. And so we end up eating excessively. When we end up eating excessively, then we experience the food coma, right? And if you're indulging so much, you excessively eat, you eat foods that are heavy, and fried foods, for example, then what's going to happen? When you pray your maghrib, you're not going to be able to pray your sunnah, right? Or when you're done eating and it's time to go to the masjid, you're not going to want to. Your feet are going to be so heavy. Your body is going to be, it's not going to have the strength to go and pray. So this is what Shaitan does, that he adorns the world for us so that we indulge. And when we indulge a little too much, then we are not able to do things that will benefit us in the hereafter. And what this means is that I will busy them so much in the world that they will be basically slaving away all day, all night for the sake of this dunya, and they will have no interest or time in the worship of Allah, in obeying Allah. And sometimes it happens that people end up preferring the dunya over the command of Allah. Now in Surah Al-Isra, we learn that Shaitan said something more. قَالَ أَرَأَيْتَكَ هَذَا الَّذِي كَرَّمْتَ عَلَيَّ In Surah Al-Isra, verses 62 to 65, Shaitan said, that, O Allah, do you see this one whom you have honored above me? لئن أخرتني إلى يوم القيامة لأحتنكن ذريته إلا قليلا. If you delay me until the day of resurrection, I will surely destroy his descendants except for a few. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى said, اذهب, go. فمن تبعك منهم فإن جهنم جزاؤكم جزاء موفورا. For whoever of them follows you, indeed hell will be the recompense of you, an ample recompense. واستفزز من استطعت منهم بصوتك وأجلب عليهم بخيلك ورجلك وشاركهم في الأموال والأولاد وعدهم وما يعدهم الشيطان إلا غرورا. And incite to senselessness whoever you can among them with your voice, and assault them with your horses and foot soldiers, and become a partner in their wealth and their children, and promise them. But Shaitan does not promise them except delusion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan wa kafa bi rabbika wakila. Indeed, over my believing servants, there is for you no authority, and sufficient is your Lord as disposer of affairs. Now look at these verses. First of all, we see how Iblis addressed Allah Azza wa Jal. He said, do you see this one whom you have honored above me? Subhanallah. Look at the disrespect that he's saying. Why did you give him preference over me? Why did you honor him over me? Tell me. Why, when I am better than him? He's clearly criticizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decision, and he's speaking so rudely to Allah Azza wa Jal. أَرَأَيْتَكَ هَذَا الَّذِي كَرَّمْتَ عَلَيَّ. And then he said that if you give me respite, I will surely destroy his descendants except for a few. And I will لَأَحْتَنِكَنَّ ذُرِّيَّتَهُ. I will surely get a hold of, I will prevail over them, and I shall destroy them, I shall uproot them. I will أَحْتَنِكَنَّ ذُرِّيَّتَهُ. I will destroy his children, as in the progeny of Adam, the children of Adam, human beings, that I will mislead them and I will destroy them, ruin them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, go, idhab, go ahead and do that. Whoever follows you among them, then Jahannam has plenty of space for all of you. فَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ جَزَاءُكُمْ جَزَاءً مَوْفُورًا. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him that go ahead and incite to senselessness whoever you can among them with your voice. Meaning use your voice to instigate them to commit sin. And the voice of shaitan, the ulama say, this is the sound of singing in musical instruments, or it is the waswasa of shaitan that invites us to sin and disobey Allah. Or words and lyrics of songs, for example, that invite to sin and that normalize evil. And sometimes, you know, the voice of shaitan is literally the voices of people that are doing the work of shaitan. For example, discouraging someone to do something good or encouraging them to commit a sin. That is shaitan talking through them. Right? We learn in a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that I have not been forbidden from crying, but I have been forbidden from two foolish voices that are sinful. The first is the sound of the singing and music at a time of joy. And second, wailing and beating at a time of loss. That someone is screaming and wailing out of control and they're beating themselves and they're tearing up their clothes and they're, you know, beating their face and their chest. This is shaitan. This is from shaitan. And in another hadith, we learned that Aisha radiallahu anha, she once passed by a place where, you know, a man was sitting and singing, and this man had a, you know, a lot of hair on his head. And as he was singing, he was also shaking his head. Okay. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, "Uff, shaitan, get him out, get him out." And Aisha radiallahu anha did not like that scene at all, that this man is sitting and singing and shaking his head. And she said, that was the work of shaitan. So the voice of shaitan is the voice that misleads people, that distracts people from the remembrance of Allah, that urges people to commit sin, that normalizes sin and wrong. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told shaitan that go ahead and use your voice to mislead them, right? Now, if you see here, Allah is the one who is telling Shaitan to go and do this. Not because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is allowing Shaitan to go and do this and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants Shaitan to do this. No, this is a threat. This is a threat to Shaitan, you know, and a reprimand. Like, for example, if someone is doing something wrong and you tell them to stop and they don't listen to you, then what do? You say, okay, go ahead. Go ahead, do some more. So what that means is that I'm not afraid of you. You can't harm me, right? That if you disobey me, you're only going to harm yourself. So go ahead and do whatever you want and destroy yourself. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, assault them with your horses and foot soldiers. وَأَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ وَرَجِلِكَ. Meaning use your horses and use your foot soldiers. So go fast or go slow. Go alone or go with many. Go after the children of Adam in order to lead them astray. Go ahead. Use all your might. Use all your forces. And the horses and the foot soldiers of Shaitan, this refers to any individual or any group that invites people to sin. They are the horses and the foot soldiers of Shaitan. And basically what we learn from this is that when a person does something wrong, then they basically have the companionship of Shaitan. In a hadith we learn that there is no person who goes out of his house except that there are two flags at his door. One in the hand of an angel and the other in the hand of a devil. If he goes out in the cause of what Allah loves, the angel follows him with his flag, and he remains under the flag of the angel until he returns to his house. And if he leaves for the cause of what Allah is displeased with, then Shaitan follows him, and he remains under the flag of Shaitan until he returns to his house. So be very careful about what you go out of your house for. Is it something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be pleased with, or is it something that Shaitan likes? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَشَارِكُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. Become a partner in their wealth and their children. وَعِدْهُمْ and promise them. And this is so frightening, that Shaitan becomes a partner in people's wealth and also in their children. How does Shaitan become a partner in the wealth of people? That they begin to spend their wealth in ways that Shaitan likes. They become wasteful. As Allah says, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. That the wasteful are the brothers of the devils. Meaning this is what Shaitan likes people to do, to waste their wealth. So this is how a Shaitan becomes a partner in the wealth of people, that they use it for wrong things, they spend in ways that Shaitan likes, and they become wasteful. How does Shaitan become a partner in people's children? That he invites people to commit zina. So when they commit zina and they have children, those children are through haram, right? Or that when people are going to give names to their children, Shaitan tells them to give names that maybe sound very good, but in their meaning are very wrong. Or that Shaitan distracts the parents so much that parents are not able to teach children the basic things of Tawheed, Salah, Quran, the seerah, any basic things. Instead, they end up teaching their children falsehood, sometimes inadvertently. So, وَشَارِكُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. وَعِدْهُمْ and promise them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the promises of Shaitan are only false. They're not true. So, for example, when Shaitan says, go ahead, you know, commit the sin, no problem. You know, what if there's no paradise? No hell. Actually, there is no paradise, no hell, because you haven't seen it and you don't know for sure. So just focus on the now. Or Shaitan says things like, it's okay, do whatever you got to do right now. And then later on, when you're successful in your life, in your career, then you can seek forgiveness from Allah. Like, for example, it's time to pray. Okay. And it doesn't take very long to pray, maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, but you're at work, or you have a lot of work to finish. And shaitan makes you anxious over there, that if you pray salah, you will not be able to complete your work. If you don't complete your work, your boss will not be happy with you. And if your boss is not happy with you, he's not going to give you the raise that you are seeking. Or maybe he won't even keep you for this job. He might fire you. So it's okay. Don't pray right now. Once you have your job security, once you have that promotion that you're seeking, then you'll be more relaxed, and then you can pray, and then you can also seek forgiveness from Allah and give some sadaqah to make up for the wrong that you are doing right now. Subhanallah. These kind of promises and, false wishes that shaitan puts us in, they actually lead us further astray into sin, into misguidance. And one sin leads to another. You leave one salah and then another and then another. And leaving one salah deliberately, even one salah deliberately, is a very, very serious thing. Think about it. Iblis left one sajda, not to Allah, but to Adam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, that why did you not do sajda when I commanded you? Are we in a position to stand before Allah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us that why did you not pray salah when I commanded you? Can we say over there, I was afraid of my boss? I was afraid for my wealth? So this is a very serious thing. In Surah An-Nisa, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about shaitan, that لَعْنَهُ اللَّهُ وَقَالَ لَأَتَّخِذَنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِكَ نَصِيبًا مَفْرُوضًا. Allah has cursed him, and he said, yani shaitan said, that I will surely take from among your servants a specific portion, yani to hell with me. And he said, وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ. And I will mislead them, and I will arouse in them sinful desires, and I will command them. فَلَيُبَتِّكُنَّ أَذَانَ الْأَنْعَامِ. So they will slit the ears of cattle. وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. And I will command them so they will change the creation of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّخِذِ الشَّيْطَانَ وَلِيًّا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ خَسِرَ خُسْرَانًا مُبِينًا. And whoever takes shaitan as an ally instead of Allah has certainly sustained a clear loss. What do we learn in these verses? First of all, we learn that shaitan vowed that he was going to take a specific portion of people with him to hell. Shaitan is very serious. He's not playing around. So we also need to get serious. And then shaitan said that I will mislead them, and I will arouse false hopes in them. What are these false hopes that shaitan arouses in us? These are hopes, like I just mentioned, that leave your salah right now, later on, you can seek forgiveness from Allah. Or you will say things like, commit the sin right now, it's okay. Because look, yesterday you prayed Jumu'ah, right? And then next week again, you'll pray Jumu'ah. And the Prophet ﷺ said that Friday to Friday, any sins that are committed in between, right, they're forgiven. So if you pray a Jumu'ah and then you pray the next Jumu'ah, any sins committed in between will be forgiven. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ told us that from one salah to the next, any sins committed in the middle are forgiven. One Ramadan to the next, any sins committed in the middle will be forgiven. One Umrah to the other, any sins committed in the middle will be forgiven. So I will just do what I'm doing and my good deeds will erase my bad deeds. Now, technically, of course, this is true. The Prophet ﷺ told us that. But how do you know that you will be able to pray the next salah? That you will be alive to witness the next Friday? That you will be alive to witness next Ramadan? That you will be able to go for Umrah? These are false hopes that shaitan gives you in order to make you do wrong things. So don't fall in the trap of shaitan. And literally, shaitan puts traps for us. This is why in the du'as that we say in the morning and the evening, Allahumma fatir as-samawati wal-ard, alim al-ghaybi wa-shahada, لا إله إلا أنت رب كل شيء ومليك أعوذ بك من شر نفسي ومن شر شيطاني وشركي. Oh Allah, protect me from the evil of shaitan and from the snares, the traps of shaitan, the traps that he sets for me. This is a trap of shaitan that leaves salah. It's okay. Allah will forgive. Don't do this good deed. It's okay. Allah will forgive. Don't give sadaqah. It's okay. Allah will forgive. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving, and we should never ever forget that. But that does not mean that we deliberately, glaringly, intentionally disobey Him. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَنَبِّئْ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ. Tell my slaves that indeed I am forgiving and merciful, and that my punishment is painful punishment. Painful punishment for who? For those who dare to disobey Allah, knowingly, deliberately disobey Allah. There's a difference between disobeying Allah out of forgetfulness. You forget to pray, okay? Or that you were sleeping, okay? Or that you were so busy in something that you didn't realize that, you know, the time of salah is over, okay? That is unintentional. This is, I'm talking about intentionally, knowingly, choosing to do something wrong. So this is the trap of shaitan. And then shaitan also said that I will command them so they will slit the ears of the cattle. And this is basically what the mushrikeen would do in order to dedicate their cattle to their idols. So they would slit the ear, and what that meant is that now this animal is dedicated to the idol. So now, you know, that animal also becomes holy, okay? And this is basically a shirki practice, okay? And then he said that I will command them and they will change the creation of Allah. This is also something that shaitan tells us to do, to change the creation of Allah. What does it mean to change the creation of Allah? First of all, it means to change the nature on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you to be His worshipper. But when shaitan, and he turns people away from deen fitrah, from the natural religion, they're changing the creation of Allah. Right? And this has many colors now, many shades now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, for example, created a person as a woman. Okay? And a woman is supposed to be feminine. Okay? But shaitan tells people that being feminine is weak. Being feminine is not good enough. So a woman thinks that her strength is in doing the things that men do, or in dressing like a man, or in behaving like a man, in fighting like a man, arguing like a man. And she forgets her femininity. She thinks that femininity is a weakness, or that it is shameful, or that it is looked down upon. Whereas, in fact, it is a strength that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has equipped women with. So this is from shaitan, where shaitan tells us to change the nature on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. Sometimes what people do is that the way that they talk to their boys, they don't teach boys to become men. And so you have so many young males who are not men enough. They have zero sense of responsibility. Zero sense of responsibility. Why? Because they have been raised to be kids. A man has huge responsibilities on him as he, as he reaches puberty and as he gets married and as he has children. But you have in the world so many men who are not men. They don't know how to be men. And at the same time, you have so many women who don't know how to be women. Changing the creation of Allah. You cannot treat a boy the way that you treat a girl. You cannot treat a girl the way that you treat a boy. A boy needs to be nurtured and raised to be a man. And a girl needs to be nurtured and raised to be a woman. فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. Of course, in every culture, there are, you know, the things that are not necessarily very positive. So you have to take, you know, you have to use your judgment. But it doesn't mean that you raise your girl to be like a boy so that she doesn't have any femininity in her and she doesn't have any compassion and, you know, concern for children or anything like that. This is very dangerous. And then, فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ, they will change the creation of Allah. This also means that they will actually change the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them. And subhanAllah, these days, this has become so common. So common. Where people don't like the shape of their lips. And so they will get their lips injected. They don't like the shape of their face, so they will get their face injected. They don't like the shape of their nose, so they will get their, through surgery, they will have the shape of their nose changed. They will get the shape of their eyes changed. They don't like their height. SubhanAllah. Through surgery, how much people are changing the creation of Allah. That a person looks so fake, so fake. And how much pain they're going through and how much money they're wasting on this. SubhanAllah. And then changing the gender even. SubhanAllah. So, فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. We should be very careful. These are the traps of shaitan. And the Prophet ﷺ cursed, he said that Allah has cursed men who imitate women and women who imitate men. If a man acts like a woman, and by acting I mean that he dresses like a woman, talks like a woman, wears makeup and gets his hair cut, changes his name and things like that to look like a woman, such a person is cursed by Allah. And a woman who imitates men, she is also cursed by Allah. And many women do this, that they will dress like a man, they will act like a man, they want to live like a man. This is changing the way that Allah made you. Embrace the way that Allah made you, then you'll be happy. And if you change the way that Allah made you, you'll never find contentment and happiness. You have to find contentment in the way that you are. There are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you control over, things that you can change. Okay? And there are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given you the option of. You don't get to choose your gender before you come to the world. You don't get to choose your physical appearance before you come to the world. And our happiness lies in being pleased with the decree of Allah, as we discussed earlier. Now, sometimes what people do is that just for fun and for entertainment purposes, they do this. That a man, for example, will wear a woman's shirt and he will put something like a towel on his head or a wig on his head, maybe lipstick on his lips, and he will start acting like a woman, talking like a woman, just to make people laugh. This is also not correct because it normalizes something that Allah and His Messenger forbade. Allah and His Messenger have forbidden us from this, that a man dresses like a woman or that a woman dresses like a man. So if a person is doing this for the purpose of making people laugh, that is also wrong. Why? Because it normalizes something that has been forbidden. Now we learn that in Surah Al-Hijr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that, shaitan vowed that he will adorn the world for them and that he will lead them astray. But he said, إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ, except among them your chosen servants. And this means that shaitan does not have the power to mislead the chosen servants of Allah. مخلصين. In fact, Wahab ibn Munabbih said that the intelligent believer is more difficult for shaitan to bring down than bringing an entire mountain rock by rock, stone by stone. And you imagine, if shaitan had to break down an entire mountain rock by rock, it would be easier for him than to bring down an intelligent believer. Because for shaitan, the intelligent believer is heavier than the mountain and harder than iron. And in a hadith, we learn that shaitan gets tired, fatigued, trying to mislead the believer, just as a camel gets tired and exhausted after a long journey. So this means that shaitan constantly tries to mislead the believer, but he fails over and over again. So we want to be of those people whom shaitan is not able to mislead. Because those who follow shaitan, like for example, they change the creation of Allah when shaitan tells them, they fall for shaitan's traps, okay? They believe in his false promises. Those who follow shaitan, then look at their outcome. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises them Jahannam. We learn in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَالَ اخْرُجْ مِنْهَا مَذْءُومًا مَدْحُورًا لَمَنْ تَبِعَكَ مِنْهُمْ لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, get out of paradise, reproached and expelled, whoever follows you among them, I will surely fill hell with you all together. The outcome is Jahannam, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So what are some things that we can learn from this part of the story of Adam alayhi salam? The part where shaitan declares his enmity against Adam and his progeny and vows to mislead them and employ different ways in order to mislead people. What can we learn from this? First of all, we learn from this part of the story about how important it is to obey the command of Allah. Whatever command it is, whether it is to pray or to give zakat or to fast or to be good to one's parents, any command, we must accept it. We must surrender to it. We must not show arrogance and stubbornness like shaitan did. Secondly, we learn from the story that obeying Allah is in fact worshipping Allah. And it doesn't matter what the act of obedience is. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the angels to prostrate to Adam, and he technically making sajda to someone other than Allah is shirk. It is wrong. But here it was not wrong. What was it? It was actually worship to Allah, because Allah is the one who commanded the angels to prostrate. So when a command from Allah comes to do something, don't begin to question it. Why this and why that? It should have been like this. Like for example, some people have a lot of trouble accepting. Why do we have to fast? Why stay hungry and thirsty all day? I won't do dry fasting. I'll do wet fasting. I will fast, but I will drink water. Well, this is not fasting. This is not fasting. You have to fast the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded you. That is obedience. And that is, in reality, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you change the commands that Allah has given you, because you find them difficult or you don't find them reasonable, then you're not obeying Allah. You're obeying your nafs. You're obeying shaitan. You're not worshipping Allah. You're worshipping your desire. Because your desire is contrary to the command of Allah. Allah is telling you to fast a certain way. But if you change that up according to your desires, then you're not worshipping Allah. You're worshipping your desires. Then we learn from this part of the story that real honor and dignity is in obeying Allah. Shaitan refused to obey Allah because he thought that the action of making sajda to Adam was beneath him. Right? But then what happened? Did shaitan become honorable? No, he didn't. He fell. Madhuman, madhura, rejected. Despicable. Removed far away from the mercy of Allah, outcast. So we don't become honorable by disobeying Allah. Maybe we have some temporary fame in the world. Maybe we have some temporary acceptance in the world. But in the long run, for eternity, it's not going to bring honor and dignity. Then we also learn from this part of the story about how dangerous jealousy is. And how dangerous arrogance is. Now, jealousy is something that is I would say normal to experience. Yani there's no, I don't know if there's any human being who doesn't experience some level of jealousy. The problem is when we start acting upon that jealousy. How? Like Iblis. He acted upon his jealousy and he did not make sajda to Adam. He did not apologize. Instead, he rationalized and then he blamed and then he declared enmity and then he went to war. One thing after the other. So when you feel jealous, for example, of your sibling, of your friend, of your classmate, because they got better numbers than you, they got a better grade than you, or because they have better clothes than you, or for anything, you feel a sense of jealousy. Think about who gave them that blessing. It is Allah who gave them that blessing. Well, is Allah limited in His resources? No. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give them something nice, is He not able to give you something nice? Yes, He is. So ask Allah for His favor. Instead of feeling jealous and dwelling on that jealousy, turn that feeling, turn that towards dua. Yani turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we learn about how one statement of Iblis became the source of his destruction. What was that statement? Ana khayrun minhu. I am better than him. And this is actually a very dangerous statement. There are four words that are very dangerous for a person to say. The first is ana. I am better. I did this. I am like this. I am older. I am taller. I am this. Ana khayrun minhu. This is very dangerous. Second, li, mine. Like Fir'aun said, Alaysa li mulku Misra? Does the kingdom of Egypt not belong to me? Is it not mine? So when we say things like, this is mine, my house, this is very dangerous. Indi, I have. This is also very dangerous. Qarun said, Innama utituhu ala ilmin indi. I have been given all of this wealth because of the knowledge that I have. When we brag like this is actually very dangerous. Then fourth, nahnu, we are like this and we are like that. Like a nation said, nahnu ulu quwwatin. We are people of might. And what happened to their might? It was finished. Then we learn from this part of the story about how dangerous arrogance is. And we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us because arrogance will prevent people from entering paradise. If a person has even a tiny amount of arrogance in their heart, they will not be allowed to enter paradise. Allahu Akbar. And we learn that people who are very arrogant on the day of judgment, they will be very, very tiny and people will trample them with their feet. Then we learn that we learn about how we should not object at the command of Allah, rather we should surrender to the command of Allah, right? And that is in our best interest. We should accept the decrees of Allah happily and willingly. And we also learn about how dangerous sins are, that how they lead a person from one sin to the next, to the next, to the next, until a person is completely trapped in the snare, in the trap that Shaitan has set up for him, and then it becomes very difficult to come out. So, and then of course we learn about the enmity of Shaitan, that Shaitan is an enemy to us. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Inna Shaitana lil insani aduwwun mubeen. Indeed, Shaitan is for the human being a clear enemy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًّا. Take him as an enemy. And he don't forget that Shaitan is your enemy. When you know that you have an enemy, someone is out to harm you, someone is out to disparage you, then you become so careful. You become so alert. So you have to be alert every day that you have an enemy, Shaitan, who is out to harm you. And yes, Shaitan uses many tricks and ways to misguide you, but all of those tricks are weak, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Inna kayda shaytani kana da'ifa. Indeed, the plot of Shaitan is very weak. So don't be afraid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has equipped you with ways to save yourself from these plots. Now, what are some of the ways in which shaitan tries to deceive us or trap us? First of all, shaitan tries to ruin our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? By making us think bad about Allah. By making us question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decrees and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's judgments and his laws. All right? And by making us think bad about Allah, that Allah does not answer your prayers, or that your prayer is not going to be answered, or that if you are tested with some difficulty, well, clearly Allah does not like you. So shaitan tries to ruin our relationship with Allah. So be very careful. The moment a negative thought about Allah comes to your mind, say, A'udhu Billah. When shaitan tells you your dua will not be accepted, make dua and believe that it will be accepted. Say, Inna Rabbi lasami'u dua. Indeed, my Lord is surely the hearer of dua. Secondly, shaitan tries to interfere in our worship. And when we are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then shaitan tries to distract us over there. It interfere in that. How? For instance, keeping us busy in unnecessary, useless things so that we don't want to pray. We don't want to perform our obligations, right? Or that when we are reciting the Quran, okay, he makes us forget the recitation. Like, for example, you're praying Salah and you're reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas, and shaitan makes you forget Surah Al-Ikhlas. Or you're praying and shaitan makes you forget what rakah you were upon, right? Which rakah you were doing, second or third, right? Or you're praying and shaitan tells you, Udhkur kada, udhkur kada, udhkur kada. Remember this, remember that. Or that shaitan makes us lazy. That we're praying and we're like, oh my God, when is it going to finish? Right? You're praying Taraweeh and you're getting lazy and your heart is not in it because shaitan is making you feel like that. Thirdly, shaitan makes us forget the remembrance of Allah. Because when we forget to remember Allah, then shaitan can spend more time with us. He can be around us. Remember, the dhikr of Allah is the shield between you and shaitan. It is the barrier between you and shaitan. When you say Bismillah, when undressing, shaitan cannot see you. When you say Bismillah, when eating, shaitan cannot have a share of your food and drink. When you say Bismillah, when you enter the house, shaitan cannot enter the house with you. Right? So what does shaitan want? That you should forget the remembrance of Allah. That you should be busy talking about people or constantly thinking about them, that you don't think about Allah. So be very consistent with your dhikr, your morning adhkar, evening adhkar, du'as of protection, adhkar after salah, and the various adhkar that we're supposed to say, like before eating, after eating, when dressing, and things like that, when going to sleep, when waking up. Then shaitan also tries to adorn sins for us, normalizing sins for us. Then shaitan also tries to ruin our relationships. Because when our relationships are ruined, like for example, you just fight with your husband, or you fight with your children, then your heart is sad. Right? You're not going to be able to cooperate with one another in doing good things. So sometimes literally shaitan makes the husband angry at the wife, or shaitan causes children to fight, siblings to fight, or siblings to have jealousy. This is literally from shaitan. So when you see, for example, your children fighting too much, this is shaitan. Read more Quran, read du'as of protection, make them read du'as of protection. So how do we protect ourselves from the plots of shaitan? First of all, we put our trust in Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Nahl that إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Shaitan has no authority, no power over those people who believe and who put their trust upon their Lord. Don't think that I am strong and I am capable of fighting away shaitan. No. you don't even see shaitan. And sometimes you get so confused, you don't even know what is your voice and what is the voice of shaitan. So you need the help of Allah. So put your trust in Allah and believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you against shaitan. Keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help against this enemy. Secondly, leave sins. Any sins that you are committing, knowingly, leave them. They could be sins in private, or they could be a public act of disobeying Allah. Any kind of sin. You know that this is wrong. You know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden it. Don't justify it for yourself. Don't insist on it. Leave it. Because if you don't, then shaitan will have power over you. Thirdly, remember the temporary nature of this world and the deception of this world. Any time that the dunya becomes very attractive, or the trinkets of this world become very attractive and tempting, because of which you want to leave obedience to Allah, remember, this dunya is little. Like, for example, you want to get that promotion at work, because of which you are afraid to pray. Remind yourself that, okay, if I get that promotion, then what? I'll get a couple thousand more in my income, then what? I'll spend it, or I'll save it, then what? It's going to finish, then what? I'm going to die, then what? All this dunya will be left behind. So is it worth it to sacrifice the eternal for the temporary? No, it's not. Remind yourself of the transitory, the temporary nature of this world. Then be very careful about your speech, the way that you talk. Because the Prophet ﷺ told us that whoever believes in Allah in the last day should either speak good or be quiet. And the thing is that it is through our words that shaitan creates problems for us. That when we say something insensitive to someone, when we respond with a nasty remark, then what happens? It leads to an argument, it leads to a fight, it leads to relationships being ruined. The issue is so tiny, but it escalates into something so huge. Another thing is, protect yourself from shaitan. How? By seeking refuge with Allah. Say A'udhu Billah when you're reciting Quran. Say A'udhu Billah anytime that the waswasa begins to bother you. And inshallah, we'll talk more about the waswasa of shaitan and how to counter the waswasa in the upcoming lessons, inshallah. And we'll conclude over here for today. Barakallahu feekum, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.